You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Dante, if I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's not good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the wall, and I'd like to give you information, asking for more, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. This is Dave Hodges, your host. And man, oh man, oh man, has a lot been going on. We've got an exciting show for you tonight. And as I like to say to those who know me, I feel like I've got ADHD of news headlines. There is so much coming at us so quickly. I mean, we have written for years and we have talked for years about what's coming. Well, what's coming is here. This is all unfolding right before our eyes, folks. And everything we said, hey, Agenda 21 is going to end up like this. And then we look at the Ammon Bundy situation, which we have a special report on in the last half hour of the show. You're not going to want to miss that. And then we look at the out-of-control administration that is telling people behind the scenes, and I'm getting daily reports on this. Those of you that think that the real ID card isn't going to be enforced until 2018, well, that's not what they're trying to do. What I'm telling you right now is there's a big, big problem brewing, and there could be enforcing this and making it increasingly difficult to travel in February. Now, why is that? Because they don't want any more Ammon Bundy standoff situations, because the country is paying attention. The jig is up. People are seeing the BLM and the Obama administration for what they are, nothing but a bunch of land-grabbing thieves trying to have their way with the American people and enforcing Agenda 21 tenets by forcing us out of the rural areas. And of course, those of you that understand Agenda 21 knows that that means lining us up and throwing us into stacking packs. Well, we have two guests in this first hour. We have Ed Petrowski and we have Cliff Harris, and we're going to be all over the map, literally and figuratively. We're going to be talking about climatology. We're going to be talking about food shortages. We're going to be talking about everything that really ultimately does affect our food supply. And I understand we have our first guest, so while we're waiting, working on getting Cliff, let's go ahead and go to Ed Petrowski, who's talking to us from Kansas. Hi, Ed. How are you?
Oh, not too bad today. It's cold out here in Kansas. We're global warming.
Oh, yeah, global warming. There you go. We're going to get into that topic, too. But we're working on getting Cliff right now as we speak, and he'll join us momentarily. But, Ed, for the benefit of the listening audience, tell them a little bit about your background. I know you're a farmer in Kansas, and you've been doing that for some time, but there's a lot more to you than just being a farmer.
Well, I started life as a nuclear engineer out of Kansas State and worked at Chicago as a nuclear engineer till middle 70s and came back to farm in 77, and got a pretty good background there. But and then of course we came back and agriculture prices went right straight to the tank from a record highs, and I joined the American Agriculture Movement, who was founded by Gene Schroeder out of Campo, Colorado, and Alvin Jenkins, and took the tractors to Washington and been raising a little hell ever since.
Yeah, I know all about that. Hey, look, we've got Cliff, so let's bring Cliff Harris in. Cliff, thanks for joining us on this very busy show tonight that we have. And I've heard a lot about you, but this is the first time I've had the pleasure of speaking with you, so welcome.
Well, it's always great to be on the radio because I can sit here in my chair in the office. I don't have to worry about putting a tie on. I don't have to go through all that rigmarole. I can be a common sense guy.
Oh, we appreciate that, believe me. Well, Cliff, for the benefit of our listening audience, briefly tell the listening audience about your background, your credentials, and so forth.
Well, I've been a climatologist for some 64 years. I started when I was in school, middle school, and then went into high school, and I took college courses while I was in high school. I sort of skipped part of high school, and then I went directly to college, attended seven different universities so I could get the courses that I need, but I don't have a degree from any one of them because I had to go to seven different colleges to get what I needed, but you add it all up, I have an equivalent of a doctorate as far as courses, and I completed two theses, so again, everybody considers me a full-fledged climatologist, and I've been around for 64 years. Next June 6th, I will be in commodities for 50 years. I'm going to be 74 years old, and I started at age 24. So I've been around a long time, and I've had thousands of clients over those years, mainly corn, soybeans, also the metals markets, the softs like coffee, sugar, you name it, I've traded it.
And now, Cliff, you better be sure to tell them about the 85 CIA study that was commissioned for with you and Dr. Browning in 85. So your clients can go reach a long way.
Well, back in between 1980 and 85, I was also writing for ADM in their monthly newsletter. And Ivan Browning, Dr. Browning, and I were headed up by the CIA for 5 years. They wanted us to do a study on when the world would no longer be able to feed itself. We figured that once we reached 7 billion or more people, it would be unattainable. And, you know, our world today is facing critical challenges. Despite stunning advances in technology, our global model of development that we sort of were looking at in the 80s there is now regarded as increasingly unsustainable. Inequalities, we predicted, Dr. Browning and I, there would be massive inequalities in wealth and opportunity as we headed into this period that we're in now. Between 2015 and 2020. Right now, we have a global famine. We have that's starting. Some people think we're in the midst of it. I believe we're just starting. But all of these refugees that we're seeing are refugees from economics, the lack of food, the lack of potable water. These are all things that Dr. Browning and I predicted would occur in this time period when we reach 7 billion people on this planet. Now, mm-hmm. We are losing a tremendous amount of arable land, particularly in Africa. The Sahara has expanded by more than 500 miles to the south just since 2000. That's millions of acres that are no longer able to be planted, mainly due to the lack of rainfall. You cut the trees down, you lose the rainfall. They have found that out in the Amazon. Look at the drought in Mato Grosso del Sol, Goiás. That's affected soybeans and northern Brazil. All sorts of problems there. We've had problems on virtually every continent from wide weather extremes. And we're going to see this continue. I don't personally believe it has a lot to do with global warming. I just think that we're coming into a cycle that we last saw on this planet in the early to mid-1300s, and it lasted for 500 years. That was the Little Ice Age. It's my opinion that we're headed in that direction, that we're peaking on global warming. And if you think that global warming's bad, global cooling is much worse. There are going to be tremendous problems globally. There'll be frosts in the northern hemisphere and the southern hemisphere later in the spring, earlier in the fall. The growing seasons will be shortened. It's going to be a mess. And we're not able now to feed the world. Well, it's going to be a horrible situation down the road. Now, all of these things are predicted in the Bible. I wrote a book a year ago called Weather and Bible Prophecy. It's a Route 66 tour through the Bible using the weather and how God has used the weather to get man's attention. I believe that he's kind of fed up with our Supreme Court and all the decisions against him and the rest of the world as well, so I think he's trying to get our attention once again by using the weather. And I think, you know, we saw that with the wettest winter month on record, December, in the Midwest, the worst floods since at least 1927 in the winter. I think they actually were worse. But we're having extremes everywhere. The drought is not over, by the way, in Southern California. It's going to continue a while longer, in my opinion. But that drought has lasted 5 years. And we're hoping that this El Nino will not fall apart too quickly, because there are two things that are going to happen. If it falls apart, it will end the rains in California prematurely this winter season, and that entire drought pattern will move towards the Midwest and the Great Plains, much like what we saw in 2012. That would be devastating, but it would give us higher prices, grain and soybean prices. The only time we ever have high prices is when we kill off a bunch of people's crops, and then we get good prices because we don't have any Joseph of biblical days to put anything away during the good times for the bad times. So you have good times, you have low prices. Bad times, you have high prices, but not much to sell. It's a rotten system, and it sort of goes along with, again, lack of common sense. We need strong leaders with common sense, God-fearing people that'll stand up and be counted and change these problems that we're facing, because we're facing, most scientists, 99% of them, believe that we're going to see increasing natural disasters, earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, all over the world, especially in the Ring of Fire, where we have 75% of the volcanoes. We're going to see this, and it's going to increase as we head into the next decade.
How soon before we'll really notice the changes in our daily living patterns?
Probably within 5 years.
And will it affect
food? It'll take a while for us, but we are, let me just point out one thing. We are one major natural disaster away from becoming a third world nation. And I'm talking about something like a major earthquake, especially west of Seattle and Portland. You know, we have that Cascadia subduction zone, and we're due for a 9.0 or 9.1 or 2 earthquake, which would kill thousands of people. We're overdue. The last one occurred in 1700, and we know that studies show us they occur about every 250 years, so we're way overdue. But one natural disaster like that would put us in a position where we wouldn't be able to handle it, financially or otherwise. And that's just one thing. We have all sorts of things that are going to happen, in my opinion. We're going to have problems with our electrical grid, where we've already seen problems there. But I think we're going to have some serious problems. Again, probably within 5 or 10 years. I'm not sure. I don't like to put dates on anything. We've got a lot of problems here, and I'm not talking about an asteroid hit the planet right away or anything like that, but that's something that could happen as well. We are in a very dangerous period because we have a lot of cycles that seem to be coming to a head, and that's what I point out in my book, Weather and Bible Prophecy, that, and there's charts that go back 4,500 years, and they show all these things. By the way, the periods of cooling and warming are normal. It's just that when we get to the end of this cycle, that's when literally all hell breaks loose. And that's what the Bible predicts, not just in the New Testament, in Matthew or Revelation, but also in books like Joel and Amos and Zechariah, and all those books have these prophecies, and everything appears like it's swiftly coming to a head. As I said, I don't like to put dates on anything, but we're certainly heading on a toboggan ride, going the wrong direction. We're going against God, and that's a mistake because God is in charge, and he's going to get our attention. He's trying to, and he's going to.
Well, that music has to get our attention. So we've got to step aside for a second, Cliff. We come back, we'll continue with Cliff Harris and Ed Petrowski on the climate.
For this week's Ranger Gear Review, we are literally giving away folding credit card knives for one penny each. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and to take advantage of this offer, just go to freefoldingknife.com. That's freefoldingknife.com, and you'll get this folding credit card knife for just one penny. This isn't some gimmick. This is a real emergency use folding credit card knife with a steel blade, very, very sharp, 65 millimeters in length on the blade, but it folds down like origami to the shape and size of a credit card. This makes it incredibly easy to carry in a pocket or a purse or the glove box of your car and have it ready for emergency use. Normally these are sold for anywhere from $5 to $10, but right now at freefoldingknife.com you can get one of these origami style folding credit card knives for just a penny. Limit one per order, please. So take advantage of it right now at freefoldingknife.com.
You've got to take Mike Adams up on that. Can you beat that price? He sent us a gift package over Christmas, and my son and I had a lot of fun playing with this. Anyway, I want to tell you about my friend Steve Quayle. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, you know, times are tough. It doesn't matter which way we turn with this show. It's difficult to find positive prognostications, maybe except for the second coming of Christ. But Steve Quayle has an opportunity for you to where you're not going to get caught with your money in the bank. It's going to be worthless cash. You won't even see it. Because the pecking order of reimbursement is basically, it doesn't exist for you. It doesn't exist for anybody but the elite, the corporations, those that are owned debt from the credit swap derivatives. And that was taken care of by the G20 conference in November of 2014. So you want to have something of value after the economy crashes. You want to have something of value with regard to your dollar that's got to be worth anything. It would be good for putting it in the fireplace. Call Steve Quayle tomorrow. He'll talk to you about conversion of cash to precious metals. He owns Renaissance Precious Metals. Call him in the morning at 406-586-4842. Again, call Steve Quayle tomorrow at 406-586-4842. Well, gentlemen, let's talk a little bit about crop yield. Let's talk about how these forces that are coalescing upon us are going to come to roost. And they're going to have a dramatic impact on our food. What will things look like at the grocery store? Talk about pricing and so forth.
Well, I believe that if this drought that's been in the far west, and it was up here too, and I'm in northern Idaho, in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and we had one of the hottest and driest summers ever. We had lost to the west of us. We lost 500,000 acres that burned. Over 400 homes. So it hasn't just been down in California, it's been the entire West. We're finally getting some rain. But the fact that we're getting rain is going to mean that this drought pattern is moving east, much like what we saw in 2012. It happens to occur every 4 years. And I think that's because there's so much hot air around every 4 years during the election. We've had these droughts about every 4 years. But it's headed towards the middle of the country, and that's going to decrease yields. Now, here's something, though, that's going to add to that. Our beloved USDA has way overestimated everything, particularly soybeans. Ray Gaisser, the president of the American Soybean Association, and Iowa State say that they have overestimated the soybean crop every year, I believe, for 21 years. And what happens is that with China buying about 30% more beans than they did in the year 2000 from us, that we tend to run out of beans by the April, May, June period. And then, of course, they call it mysterious disappearance. Well, it never was there in the first place. Here's the problem. If we run dry, literally this summer, with this big ridge moving into the center of the country, soybean yields could fall throughout the Midwest lower than 30 bushels an acre, and that's not enough to make it. We just won't make it.
That would be
we're going to have to ration the soybean.
And that'd be about a 20% reduction below normal, wouldn't it, Cliff?
Right. And, you know, we had 31 bushels an acre in Indiana because a piece of this big drought moved to the east in August, late July, August, early September, and cut the yield to about 31 bushels an acre. Now, that's not what the USDA said, but that's what the people in Indiana claim, and that those are the true figures. They way overestimate everything. You know, there's nothing to keep the USDA from saying whatever they want. They can make these crops look like the most bountiful crops that have ever been raised, when the truth is somewhere in the middle. I believe we had better crops than we've had in years, the past couple of years, because we've been in a relatively favorable cycle with rain in the heartland and dry out west. But patterns change. My climatological charts show that these patterns come and go like clockwork. The only thing that's happening, even with the sea surface temperature cycles, everything is speeding up. It's coming to a head. Things are happening faster and faster and faster, much like our technology. It's stunning technology, but I'm afraid that people are relying on the technology rather than their common sense brains, and it's a negative in the long run, in my opinion. It makes us slaves to our technology. And it's that way even in farming, the same way. And, of course, when your inputs are more than your outputs and you can't make it, then the Commodity Credit Corporation and the banks come along and say, well, we're not going to loan you any money for planting because it doesn't pencil out as a profit. And who put us in that position? The USDA and the Obamaite policy. I mean, these are to kill commodities, kill the producers in this country, and do everything for the consumers temporarily so you can buy votes because they vote with their wallet. And that's what they're doing. But I believe all hell will break loose once we get past this election. That's why it's so important that we elect a God-fearing, strong leader, a super Reagan, rather than the, you know, what we see out there now. And I'm not happy on either side in many cases. But I think we need to, that's why the anger is in this country. People are tired. How about retirees? They had their cost of living adjustment stolen from them. Why? Why did that happen? When the market basket of items, excluding gasoline, was up 7%, medicine up 19%. They just took it away from them. Well, one of the reasons is all we have left in the Social Security fund are IOUs because they stolen all the money out of the Social Security Trust Fund. These people are vile. And I'm going to say right now, if Hillary gets in, it'll be Hillary for 4 years. We're going to be a third-rate nation, in my opinion, by the year 2020 if she gets in.
I couldn't agree with you more. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, I've said many times, if Hillary gets elected, I will seriously consider leaving the country if I can get out.
A lot of people have said that, but I'm not going to Canada. They're in worse shape than we are, and I'm half Canadian.
let's bring Ed in. Ed, your thoughts on this?
Well, I'd agree. And right now, Dave, it's at a time weather-wise when we should be gearing up, planning, and making plans to plant more based on what's coming weather-wise, instead of cutting our input costs and being forced to cut them through low commodity prices. We should have the incentive to go out and produce more because it's coming. You know, everybody forgets, Dave, every year we have to have a record new production of food. We have a record new number of mouths every year. And if you don't have a record production of food every year, somebody's going to starve to death.
Why do you think we have all the refugees, Ed?
Pardon?
Why do you think we have all the refugees?
That's right, because they can't food.
And we're going to see millions more, because look at southern Africa, the worst drought in 100 years. People can't find water. They're walking 2, 3, 5, 10 miles to get a couple of jugs of water. No food, dysentery, diarrhea, horrible diseases, and they're increasing. And we're one step away from a pandemic, mainly because we have a lot of sick people, desperate people.
Because they can't, they can't eat properly. They don't have
the
nutrition.
And we should have been feeding them at home before they had were that desperate that they had to leave home because they didn't have food, water, shelter, or any of the needs, basic needs of life. That's what I was saying at the start of this conversation, that, you know, these people, one out of every six people on this planet is hungry and dying in many cases of severe malnutrition and diseases, horrible disease. They lack access to education and health care. It's unequal and often unavailable. And now,
you know, And you remember what you told me about 8-10 years ago? I asked you about what the rainfall has done downstream from the deforestation of the Amazon and Brazil.
And the same thing in Africa, the same way. Look at what happened in Ethiopia.
Cliff told me about 35-40% reduction in rainfall downwind from the deforestation.
Even here in the U.S.
That's huge.
Even here in the U.S., where we've had clear cutting, we've seen a drop in the rainfall. You cut the trees, you cut the rainfall. Deserts expand. Wildfires increase. You have other problems with toxic algae, where you can't eat the fish or the crabs or shellfish.
Cliff,
you can't eat them because they're poisonous. And this is occurring off our West Coast right now. The Bible says that 35% of the creatures are going to die. Well, they're already dying. They're washing up on beaches. But people have such a lackadaisical, laissez-faire attitude about everything that they don't take it seriously. And all these things are happening at one time. Like I said, we're one major disaster away from becoming a third world nation.
What about staple production, Cliff, as far as vegetable production? Of course, California's been hit hard. How did the floods affect Texas, Florida, and that area as far as our main vegetables?
You look at the price of vegetables this winter. They've gone up in the stores about 11% over last year. Celery is very expensive. And you get many vegetables are very expensive. And over the past few winters, we've seen tomato prices go out of sight. They're not as bad this year as they were when we had the zero weather go all the way down to El Paso, Texas. But again, we have these patterns of extremes, and they're causing major, major problems. If we end up with too much water this spring, it won't matter whether you get money for planting. You're not going to be able to plant because you won't be able to get out there. These winter floods are going to have other effects down the road. I mean, it'll play on itself. And it's very similar to 1983, in my opinion, what we're looking at, where we're going to have too much water in the winter and spring and then not enough in the summer, and we're going to have some big crop losses. And then the heat will be turned up as well when we're dry. So it's going to be a mess.
This is a good break point. We're going to go into break now. And when we come back, gentlemen, we're going to pick this up, and we're also going to talk about farmers leaving the business, which is going to exacerbate the problem. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
All right, for this week's Ranger Gear Review, did you know that hackers and government agencies can scan your RFID personal identity details through the air invisibly using an RFID scanner that reads the chips that are increasingly on driver's licenses, passports, and credit cards? Merely by walking near an RFID scanner, which may be hidden, by the way, you can have your personal identity details stolen without your knowledge or consent. My name is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I launched Ranger Gear to be able to offer solutions for problems just like this. We came up with RFID blocking sleeves that interfere with RFID scanning attempts and block them so that no one can steal information off your credit cards, driver's licenses, or passports. You just slip any credit card or passport into one of these sleeves, and it immediately blocks the RFID scanning. It can't get through it. It's like a bulletproof vest against RFID signals. These RFID blocking sleeves are infinitely reusable, they're durable, they're portable, lightweight, almost weigh nothing, and you have to use them now when you travel to protect your identity and your personal security as well. We've got them on sale now, a pack of 10 credit card sleeves and 2 passport protectors. All of them block RFID 100%. They're available now 10% off by using discount code DAVE at rangergear.com. Again, just use coupon code DAVE at rangergear.com and you'll save 10% off this RFID blocking sleeve pack, which contains 10 credit card sleeves and 2 passport protectors. I really can't emphasize this enough. Anywhere that you travel right now, if you have these RFID chips embedded in your cards or passports, you are being scanned and tracked without your knowledge. But you can block that using these RFID blocking sleeves right now. Rangergear.com. Use discount code DAVE to save 10% today.
Yeah, thanks to Mike Adams for that. And this is no joke, folks. The tracking capabilities that are being employed against average people that fall into disfavor with the government for daring to speak about things like the Constitution have never been greater. So take advantage of Mike's generous offer. Also, I want to tell you about my friend Bob Griswold from Ready Made Resources. You know, I don't have to tell you that things are bad. I mean, if you just look over the past 6-8 months, I mean, the economy's on the verge of collapse. Jade Helm marshalized our forces where they could spring into action against us at any time, although I think that some of them will break ranks. The Russians are threatening to nuke us. That's on an ongoing basis. The Chinese are threatening to nuke us. You know, you better get ready, folks, because there's going to come a time when you're going to have basic services denied and you're not going to be able to call 911 for help. So what should you do? You should go to readymaderesources.com and look at their great product line. They have everything from solar generators, they have water, Berkey water filters, and they have, and I think this is really a given for anyone's self-defense unit, you should have PVS 14 third generation auto-gated night vision goggles. You need to have these. I mean, if you don't have them and your enemy does, you're going to lose. Anyway, readymaderesources.com. Take a look at what Bob has to offer and then give him a call in the morning, 1-800-627-3809. Again, that number to call in the morning is 1-800-627-3809. Well, we're back with our two guests, Cliff Harris and Ed Petrowski. And gentlemen, I want to throw a monkey wrench into this. I had a conversation with Ed a couple of weeks ago when he mentioned the fact that the projections out there are that 15% of the farmers could be leaving the business, thus exacerbating a potential food shortage. Let's get your comments on that.
Well, I mean, I think it's more than that, actually, because we have problems, though, with even farmers trying to sell out, because the Commodity Credit Corporation and the banks will only loan like $3,000 for an acre of land, not what it's really worth, and many of these farmers would have to hold the paper, and they don't want to do that. So it may cut down on farmers leaving because they don't like the terms. And also, they want to take part in the fact that we do believe that there's a 99% chance that food prices are going to go up. It's just inevitable when you consider we have a global famine and millions of refugees, and it's increasing every day. I just believe that when I look at everything here, that we're going to have people that will become desperate in many, many countries for food, water, and the necessities of life. That's why they're leaving already, millions. Well, this is going to spread on a global basis. People that don't believe that we're in a global famine, that even the UN and NASA, I have people that I talk to in both the UN and NASA, they're worried sick about this because Germany can't take them all. You know, I mean, it's a horrible situation. Our stock market is crashing. We're everywhere you look. Things are not the rose-colored glass State of the Union message that we saw from Mr. Obama. It's entirely 180 degrees in the other direction. And people have to wake up because things are happening, and they're happening, as I mentioned before, they're happening fast.
Okay, Ed, let's get your comment on this, please.
Well, of course, I deal with a banker, and I've got people on the phone right now that have been doing their cash flow, and there really isn't. You've got to cut out some of the basics to make the cash flow work, and that's
You got to cut out equipment depreciation. What you got to, you got to have the equipment to farm. Cash flow rise right now, Dave. There's virtually nothing in the main commodities, Dave, corn and soybeans and wheat, that will pay the bills. And these bankers are looking at real hard. They're advising their customers to where to cut back. And the word that Cliff was getting here a couple weeks ago from the big three was that they're estimating, what, about 15%, aren't they, Cliff?
Yeah, at least that. Like I say, it would be more if farmers could sell out and be paid for their land a proper price, but they're trying to steal it. You know, like
the
I believe
land,
reverse mortgages are just an effort to steal houses from the elderly. But I believe that these programs that they have now are just programs to steal land from the farmer. You know, these are housing grabs and land grabs and money grabs, and it's just everything is vile.
It's hard to get a handle. Right now, the word that we're kind of hearing is that, the seed sales are way down from what they have been. And that's a general indication of the feeling out there in the countryside. The trouble is they can change this thing at the last minute and guys will jump in and plant. But I'd say there's going to be a major, there'll be some reduction anyway in planting this year just because farmers, a lot of them have just given up. And
well,
and
when it doesn't pencil out, though, these bankers are already in having problems. I talk to them. And they don't want to add to their problem situations that they have right now. They're scared to death that they've written too many low-cost mortgages, that they're not going to be able to handle them, that we're going to be back in 07, 08 again before we know it. And it only this time it'll be worse because we don't have the money to bail anybody out.
And they are very worried about when it starts, when the first foreclosure auction starts in an area, it becomes perpetuating, and it becomes a feeding frenzy. The ones that get out first get out pretty decent. Mm-hmm. The ones that wait, the prices start dropping, and we're seeing real estate drop probably close to 5-10% already, and that's not a good sign.
Well, it could drop as much as 30-40% and rather quickly.
Yeah,
but that's why they're only offering $33,000 an acre to finance $3,000 an acre, because they believe that land prices are going to take a big drop.
You know, farm equipment sales
are
down. That's right.
Yeah,
everything's down. John Deere announced layoffs. Case announced layoffs. Of course, Caterpillar's in the tank. And seed sales are down right now. Everybody is sitting there. Just, you know, when farming is
well,
a business,
you have the box stores laying off too. Macy's closing stores. You have even Walmart. I didn't believe it myself when I was told back in November that Walmart was going to be closing stores. And I said, well, I'll believe it when I see it. But they're doing it. I mean, we have one foot on ice and another on a banana peel, in my opinion.
And what's the numbers?
This is a very serious situation that we've come into.
Monsanto's laid off. How many people have they laid off, Cliff? 3,600?
Maybe as much as 4,600, I was told last Friday.
46. That's a huge amount. That is our food supply. That's the people that grow the seed for next year's crops.
Yeah, I want to return to something here that I think that we kind of left too quickly. And it's with the question I posed to Ed coming out of the break. With regard to at least 15% of the farmers leaving the business and leaving a shortfall for crop production, let's talk about, let me put a historical context in behind this question. In the Great Depression, it's estimated that 2 to 7 million people starved to death. What kind of effect is this going to have in the modern day in terms of threat to people's food vulnerability and ultimately their survival?
Well, as I mentioned at the start of the conversation today, of the interview, that we have right now, we have 1 billion people, 1/7 of the world's population, already facing these conditions. And it isn't just food. It's water. It's shelter. It's economic turmoil of 90% unemployment. I mean, what
Dave,
do you do?
We've been importing soybeans every year in the late season for, what, the last 2 to 3 years, haven't we, Cliff?
Well, and we've run into problems because our beans are in good shape. Brazil's beans are crap. And Brazil has been caught using caustic chemicals on their beans up north, trying to save them from the hordes of insects eating them to the quick. And these toxic chemicals are getting into the soybeans. That's why Norway and the Netherlands and Italy, European countries, are buying from us, despite the fact that our dollar is so strong that they're having to pay the equivalent in their currency of $12 to $13 a bushel. But they don't want these South American beans. They've been traditionally, lately, in horrible shape. Lousy. China hates them. Yep. That's why they're buying our beans.
Okay. But let's bring this discussion back to overall threat to the American consumer. What are we going to see?
Well, it'll be passed down.
The soybeans already are a threat because we knew that at harvest time that we would run out of soybeans again. Now Brazil has had major drought problems. So is it a threat? And that's our protein source. It may not be the source we'd like to eat like meat, but it is a cheap protein source. So
it's happening in China already. You know, a prime rib there costs $150. So of course they're going to use more soybeans as a protein source. Meat's too expensive. And you know, it's that way even in this country. We have people that are looking for other sources of protein.
And, I mean, right now, Dave, I mean, we've got food lines. We have food kitchens here in Pratt, Kansas, in an area that grows food, Dave.
Well, we have the same thing in northern Idaho here in Coeur d'Alene, but a lot of the people are coming from the fracking operations in eastern Montana and North Dakota. They've lost their jobs, they've lost their homes, they've lost everything in this Obama-related downturn in oil and in all the products. So they're coming here and they're coming to our church every Wednesday and bringing their families to eat at our church because they are without jobs. It's the middle of winter, it's cold, it's snowy, it's miserable. I mean, you look at every area of production in this country, oil, metals, food, they've killed or are killing the producers. No nation has ever survived when they've destroyed the production and become only a service-related consuming entity that swallows everything in sight.
Dave, you ask how long is it going to last or when's it going to hit? I don't know if anybody really knows, because as long as Brazil has beans that we can pay more. They were paying as high as $20 a bushel last spring when we were getting, what, $7, $8, $8.50 a bushel. For junk beans to come in and blend with our good beans.
Hold that thought, Ed. We got to step away for a break. We come back, I'm going to let you finish that thought with that comparison with Brazil. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
For this week's Ranger Gear Review, we are literally giving away folding credit card knives for one penny each. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and to take advantage of this offer, just go to freefoldingknife.com. That's freefoldingknife.com, and you'll get this folding credit card knife for just one penny. This isn't some gimmick. This is a real emergency use folding credit card knife with a steel blade, very, very sharp, 65 millimeters in length on the blade, but it folds down like origami to the shape and size of a credit card. This makes it incredibly easy to carry in a pocket or a purse or the glove box of your car and have it ready for emergency use. Normally these are sold for anywhere from $5 to $10, but right now at freefoldingknife.com you can get one of these origami style folding credit card knives for just a penny. Limit one per order, please. So take advantage of it right now at freefoldingknife.com.
Well, again, what a great product that is. It's so much fun to play with. And could you beat the price? No. Again, I want to go back to Bob Griswold because we were talking in our last segment here about impending food shortages. And you heard Ed say that basically they're here. I mean, he lives in Pratt, Kansas, and it's a food-producing area, a rich food-producing area, and yet they've got soup kitchens. They've got food for welfare. I mean, what are you going to do when your food-producing areas are running short? Well, the thing that you need to do is you need to store up. And Bob Griswold offers Mountain House Storable Foods, and it's the position of the Common Sense Show, and has been for some time, that every American should have at least 2 years of storable food. Bob deals in Mountain House. Great quality, great taste, great price. Again, go to his website tomorrow morning at readymaderesources.com. And again, his number is 1-800-627-3809. Hey, don't be one of those people trying to come through my window, because you won't find a cooperative neighbor. Bob Griswold, readymaderesources.com. Well, Ed, you were talking about comparative prices when we went into the break between Brazil and the U.S. and how it's, I'm getting the sense it's putting the U.S. farmer in peril, but I'll let you finish that thought.
Yes, they, well, this was last spring to get the soybeans in. We could not ship soybeans. They were running out, so they had to bring in soybeans out of Brazil, and these were very poor quality beans. They had to blend them with the good beans from the U.S. to market them here in the U.S. And for shipments overseas. Now, you know, at some point in time, you get short enough on commodities when the price gets high enough. Now, that's when the gig's up. At what point that is, I don't know. But right now, for a lot of people across the U.S., it is at that point, Dave, that the prices have went up. Food prices went up. At the same time, the price that we sell it for has went down by half. I'm getting the same price for corn that I was 45 years ago.
Ed, it almost seems like someone's trying to drive the farmers out of business.
Well,
that's what it sounds to me.
The same way, Dave, the same thing. Wheat prices went down to 1973 level. Nobody can exist. What about the same thing with cars? If they were to lower Toyotas to $5,500 to $6,000, it would be fair. But they're not. But farmers get their prices lowered back to 40-year levels. I mean, it's ludicrous. And we need to have the Joseph of biblical days. I say that in my book, Weather and Bible Prophecy. By the way, a person can get it. I'll give it to them for $5 off and ship it to them. You can get it on weatherprophecy.com, or you can get it on longrangeweather.com. We'll get a book in their hand, because all of this stuff is in my book. But the thing that's most important to realize is how fast this global famine is developing. I've never seen anything like it. It extends from Somalia to southern Africa, through much of Asia, the mid-Pacific states. I mean, we're having problems everywhere. The Ukraine, southern Russia, they're having trouble with these extreme temperatures, going from a record high of 45 to 50 above to 30 to 40 below. Now they got record snows. Everything is going wild. The weather is running wild. And I happen to believe it's God trying to get our attention, because that's what the Bible says in many of the books.
For the audience, Cliff told me in 77 when I first met him, and he sat there and lectured the wheat growers. And by 1990, he says, you'd be growing dry land corn. And we all laughed at him. And he said, what we lived through in the 50s, 60s, and 70s was the calmest, most stable weather since the time of Christ. And he told us that that day, I remember it well, in 77, that he said the normal galaxy-wide is wild extremes. And that's what we've got. I mean, he was dead on, right?
And our patterns are very similar right now to what we saw as a planet just in front of the Little Ice Age. We had come out of the climate optimum period when Leif Erikson was able to go over to Newfoundland, because everything was so wonderful temperature-wise, a lot warmer than now. They farmed Greenland, southern Greenland. They had cattle. They had crops. Everything was wonderful. As I said, warmer than now, and they weren't driving SUVs at that time and supposedly polluting the air. But again, it all came to a end, and the mighty Vikings were forced out of Greenland in the cold areas, and they were tough, a lot tougher than we are. and they were forced out. And that lasted for 500 years. It peaked during the Maunder Minimum in the 1600s. Now we're coming to another minimum. 100 years later, we had the Dalton Minimum. And now we're coming to another minimum of sunspot activity. We've just peaked. We're going to go to a minimum. And we're going to see get colder, not warmer. And that's what I think's coming in here in the very near future. We've already seen this happen. Remember, last winter was the snowiest winter ever recorded in Boston, ever. And the winter before that was the coldest ever recorded in North Dakota near the Manitoba border, 105 days below zero. Remember the
circumpolar vortex? I was just going to ask, are we looking at the coming of an ice age?
I believe that we're heading in that direction, because the Bible seems to indicate that too, you know, that the sun is going to be blotted out, that it's going to be darkened, that and that could be from massive volcanic eruptions. You know, the 75% of the volcanoes are in that ring of fire, and there are many of them that are long overdue. The big ones, the ones that have caused problems in the past, they're ready to go at any time. We don't know exactly when that's going to be, but we do know that Toba and Yellowstone and many of these volcanoes, if they were to go, it'd be a disaster on this planet.
And Cliff, in your short lifetime, well, it seems like it's not so short, but we're going to call it short. How many times have we seen food surpluses of grains virtually disappear within a year, haven't we?
Oh, absolutely. And it happens that it tends to occur during election years. The last one was 2012, 2008, and so on, all the way back to 88 and other years. These cycles that used to be 7 years now are 4 years. The cycles of 7 years were in the Bible. Now they've shortened to 4 years. Now the Bible talks about things happening faster. The information age, the knowledge shall be increased. All of these things are going to happen at the end. And we are going down like on a toboggan, down a steep slope, and we can't stop. And I believe that the only thing that will help us as Americans is if we turn back to God, we repent, and we get a strong, God-fearing leader, which I don't really see on the horizon right now, but there are a few, like I think Huckabee is a good guy. But I'm just saying that we need somebody strong, somebody that the world will respect. And if we don't get it, we don't get this strong leader, I believe we're doomed. I mean, I really do. So we better start stocking up on food and the things we need now. Preparation is the key. How many people do you think in Seattle are prepared for a large earthquake or Mount Rainier exploding? They couldn't leave town fast enough.
Well, Dave, here about 3 or 4 years ago, Cliff said, we've got the drought coming, and we were already hurting for cattle pasture. We talked to Senator Pat Roberts, Senator Jerry Moran, and says, look, we know the drought's coming, that we're going to have a dry summer. We need to stockpile and start a program for cattle feed that we can help keep these cows alive and keep our cow herd built up. Because it takes 3 years to rebuild. You know, from the time you gestate and stuff, there's 8-9 months, and by the time it grows up to be a calf, you're looking at 3 years from start to finish. Grain you can turn around in a year, but a year's still a long time to wait. But Dave, we told him that, and it was based on, and Cliff hit it right on, and they had to liquidate a lot of cow herds there. What's that been, 3-4 years ago, Cliff?
Yeah, you know, we warned them way ahead of this big drought of 2012. I warned them, because actually parts of Texas, they had a drought for 10 years in front of that. It wasn't something new. And look at the fights for water in rangeland grasses, like what we're seeing in Burns, Oregon, and other areas of the West. There are major battles going on because we don't have enough rangeland available. The government is confiscating it, and the water sources are drying up. One wet year isn't going to bring us back either, in my opinion.
Nope. And as long as we're the wealthiest nation yet, we can do just like we've been doing with Brazil. By the time we're out of soybeans in the U.S., we can go in and we can bid them up and buy them from other countries. until the other countries are so starved that they will not let them go out. And see, that's when we don't know, I don't know, and I don't think Cliff knows, at what point the rest of the world is going to say, you can't have our grain anymore. When that day happens, Dave, that's when the gig is up.
It's going to be tough. Cliff, before we run out of time, give everybody your website and tell them how they can get a copy of your book again.
Okay, it's longrangeweather.com is our main website. We've had it for many, many, many years. And you can get a lot of what I'm talking about. I'm on DTN, Data Line Transmission Network, every day. They can subscribe to that if they want. They can get my reports every day. I've been on for 35 years, a long time. But also weatherprophecy.com. You can also call us up on the phone if you want. It's area code 208-691-2956. Area code 208-691-2956. We will send this book, Weather and Bible Prophecy, to your listeners, Dave, for $5 off. It's normally $14.95. We'll sell it to your listeners only at $9.95, and we will pay for the shipping on top of it. But I want to get this book out into people's hands. I didn't write it to make money. I wanted to get the information out because, to my knowledge, I'm the only climatologist that has ever written a book about weather and Bible prophecy in one book. It's unique, believe me.
And Dave, unique, the other thing is he's got on there the 4,000-year chart. This is the original tree ring chart.
4,500 years.
Indisputable. And they show the weather patterns for 4,500 years and the events that go that parallel those patterns. And it's on longrangeweather.com also.
And okay, give that number out. Give that number. Oh. Because we don't have any Joseph of biblical days.
Okay, Cliff, give your number out one more time. There was a little confusion on it.
Oh, okay. It's area... because we want to make sure we can ship these out quick. It's area code 208-691-2956. My partner, Randy Mann, will get a book out to you. I've autographed them. So, I mean, they'll be autographed. 208-691-2956. Or go on the Internet, weatherprophecy.com or longrangeweather.com. I hope that you do this because there is so much information that I just barely scratched the surface.
Yes, we did. Well, we're going to have you back. Gentlemen, this was very enlightening because we are indeed in the midst of a food crisis. There is no question. And I wanted the listening audience to hear it from people who are working in the field. Thanks so much for joining us, gentlemen. We're out of time. And
Thanks, Dave.
I am going to have both of you back. Yeah. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Ed Petrowski and Cliff Harris. And Cliff, very generous offer for his book, and I would encourage you to take advantage of it. And very quickly, before we go to break, some of you have been asking for our Listen Live by phone, 605-475-6092, 605-475-6092. We'll be back in hour number two with someone I've been talking about in hour number one, Bob Griswold. Stay tuned.